Good morning and Happy New Year. It's January 1st. I would invite you to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to spend some time there in this message that I've entitled God in Your Future. This message for New Year's Day, thinking about a new year ahead of us. The days after Christmas usually involve taking down the Christmas tree and the decorations from the house. It might mean a few days off from work or trying to figure out how to pay for Christmas. It may also mean New Year's resolutions, plans to diet, get out of debt, or start a new job. Most importantly, is God in your plans? This message focuses on the new year and a fresh start. Christmas has a way of draining us. The parties, the shopping, the church musicals, visits with the family, and the tension that comes with it all. The new year, however, has a way of energizing us. New prospects, new dreams, new plans, and the annual resolutions to diet, to exercise, to get out of debt, and try new things or get better at something. C.S. Lewis wrote, "The central Christian belief is that Christ's death has somehow put us right with God and given us a fresh start." It is all about passion. Let me tell you a story of passion. His name was Doug Dugan. He was a construction contractor who lived life straight up and straight ahead. Dugan's contact with Robert Fulghum eventually led to active involvement in the church. He was invited to serve on the church board, but his business travel prevented him from making the commitment. Nonetheless, when he was available, he would sit in on the meetings as a non-voting spectator. Unbeknownst to the board, Dugan was bonded to carry up to $500,000 as certain jobs required easy access to large amounts of cash. In addition, he was registered to carry a gun to protect his money. He carried both the large sums of money and his gun in a briefcase. Dugan sat through long meetings where the board debated prices on paper towels and toilet paper. During this particular meeting, the church board was wrestling a more arduous problem concerning the front driveway. Smooth paving on one side allowed people to drive dangerously fast, so they needed speed bumps and signs. The other side of the driveway had large potholes and needed paving. After 3 hours, they were nowhere closer to a resolution. From outside the main circle, Dugan raised his hand with a suggestion. He counseled the board to leave the potholes on one side, dig potholes on the other side, spray the holes with tar, and call them speed holes. He also offered to do the job for free. The board then spent the next hour hankering over the proposal. Dugan's fuse finally lit, and he stood up. He threw his briefcase on the table and asked how much the church was worth. Buildings, lands, and everything. The treasurer said about $300,000. Dugan replied, "Great, I'm going to buy it." He took his gun out of the briefcase and then started throwing out bundles of $100 bills until the price was reached. He said, "Give me the deed and it's done." From the stunned silence, one of the board members asked, "What are you going to do with it?" Dugan explained how he would have his crew come over, level the place, haul it off to the dump before sundown, and I'll use the land for the cemetery you guys are headed toward in these meetings of the living dead. Dugan continued to chew out the board for spending so much time on trivial business because he came to church for religion, not discounted paper plates. One anxious board member asked about Dugan's gun. He answered, "I was thinking of putting every last one of you out of your misery. Too bad it's against the law." Dugan then packed up all his money and told the board to let him know when they wanted to start getting serious about all the things the church ought to be doing in the world. As he walked out of that meeting, he repeatedly said, "The offer still stands." Dugan's approach might lack a bit of tact, but it's filled with truth. People are literally dying while the church is gridlocked with trivial pursuits. Jesus has promised in the Revelation to make good on Dugan's offer and turn churches into cemeteries if they don't revive their passion for spiritual matters. Christmas should renew a passion for God, and the new year invites us to think of new steps, new hopes, and new plans, including changing some things, gaining a fresh start in Christ. In his letter to the believers at Colossae, Paul wrote about the church and how it all starts with God. The key in the ignition of the car, the starting line in a marathon, the blank canvas for a painter, each is a starting point. Jesus Christ is the starting point for a Christian and the church, and your prospects for a new year. First, creation starts with God. Look at Colossians chapter 1, look at verse 15. "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. All, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist." Paul begins with a foundational theological point. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Paul acknowledges God is the creator of all things, the maker of heavens and earth. Watch a sunset, or look at the early morning dew. God created it. Watch a bird using the wind to fly across the sky. God created it. Watch a deer jump a fence or with such grace and power. God created it. Watch dolphins glide through the water and jump out and back in. God created it. Watch an ant gather food. God created it. Watch a snowflake fall from the sky. God created it. Touch a baby's soft and gentle hands. Hear him cry. God created each person and place the value of his son's blood on each one of us. God's key creative thought is seen in verses 13 and 14. He delivered us out of darkness. He introduced us to the Son who loves us. He provided a way in Christ so that we can join His kingdom. And His kingdom is more than simply dominion and authority. It's a kingdom of life, of transformation, of joy, of forgiveness, and of God's ongoing creative work in our lives, right up to this very moment and into the future. It all starts with God. He wants to give us a fresh start. Second, your life starts with God. Look at verses 13 and 14. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. Paul knew the struggle of life, ministry, travel, and trying to make ends meet to put food on the table. He knew the terror of enemies, the fellowship of friends, and the trials of everyday life. Paul knew the mountaintop joys and the dreadful valleys. He knew the disappointments of life and the achievement of dreams. And he says, knowing all that, he says two things. All life starts with God. And all things hold together in Him. If you follow Jesus with all your heart, then your decisions, your attitudes, your plans, your hopes, and your dreams will find Him at the center. If you walk with Jesus in your daily life, then dependence on Him holds your life together and gives it purpose. God wants you to know that everything got started in Him, and everything finds its purpose in Him. During football season, plenty of women wonder about the purpose of such a sport. And at times, even the players themselves wonder the same thing. When watching Sean Alexander run, nobody needed to wonder about his purpose. He played the game with passion and was always a threat to opponents. But some people thought he didn't take it seriously enough. He smiles a lot and doesn't seem to get frustrated when things don't work out. That's because when things don't work out, his jersey reveals more than just the number 37. It reflects his life's ambition. When he was in college and going through some hard times, a teammate suggested he start reading the Bible more. Not knowing where to begin, he replied, "Yeah, but there's so much there. Which part?" As if taking a cue from Alexander's jersey, the player said, "Your number is 37. Why don't you read every chapter 37? Why don't you read every verse 37? Something will click with you. You'll find your life verse, something around which you can center yourself." At the end of the football season, he was asked if he'd found his life verse. From seemingly nowhere, Alexander replied, "Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart." As soon as he spoke those words, they took on new meaning. They did indeed become his life verse and the guiding light of all he does. That's why he can smile when a play doesn't work as designed. His purpose is much bigger than the game of football, and his jersey was a constant reminder of that truth for him and anyone else who knows the story behind the number. He is pouring his life and resources into helping boys find their way in life. As you face a new year, Does your life have purpose in God? What is the center of your life? There are four elements of a life lived with God's purpose. Peace. Paul stated at the beginning of his letter, peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Chapter 1, verse the second part of verse 2. Also in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, he tells us that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This is a personal, life-changing peace that surpasses all understanding. Jesus is our peace. Real peace starts with God. Do you know this peace? Peace. Deliverance. Paul writes in chapter 1, verse 13, that God has delivered us from the power of darkness. A television news story told of a rescue. A roaring, rapid river turned over a small raft on which two people were riding. They were saved by a rescue team who threw them a lifeline. Jesus has rescued us, throwing us a lifeline from the cross into our sin. Deliverance starts with God. Peace, deliverance, forgiveness. Paul emphasized that we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins. There in verse 14. Where would we be without the forgiveness of sins through Christ's shed blood? Where would we be without Christ's forgiveness motivating personal forgiveness in relationships? Forgiveness heals, and forgiveness starts with God. Peace, deliverance, forgiveness, and reconciliation. Verses 20 and 21, Paul mentions the word reconciliation. Jesus Christ reconciles people to God and to each other. He makes enemies friends. He takes what is broken and puts it back together. He takes what is severed and ties it back together by attaching it to Himself. Reconciliation starts with God. A new year is coming, and it all starts with God. And then third, the church starts with God. Look at verse 18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have preeminence. Paul's heart beats threefold, for God, for people, and for the church. And he makes clear that Jesus is the head of the body, the head of the church, and He is supreme in that role. When you think of the church, you may think of the programs, the ministries, and maybe even the madness of the schedule, the fellowship, the worship, and the small groups. And when you think of the church, you're bound to think of somebody who annoys you. And you may not like the music. Bob Russell pastored Southeast Christian Church in Louisville, Kentucky, for nearly 40 years. During his tenure, they grew from a congregation of 120 people to a church over 14,000 in attendance. Russell's passion has been that of reaching people for Christ, and that leads to church growth. Their current worship center will seat 9,000 people and has received criticism for those who seem opposed to ongoing church growth. Whenever such critics have asked Pastor Russell why they built such a huge facility, his response has been classic. Because we couldn't afford to build it any bigger. Unfortunately, too many Christians in America believe church growth is nothing more than reaching a very manageable number of people. Let me encourage you. You to stop and consider three things. Number one, it is the Lord's church, not yours. Number two, God is calling people to serve Him through His church. And number three, Christ is to be supreme in all things. This past year has been one of challenges. Challenges in many ways. And as a result, crises in the lives of most families. Who knows what this next year holds? One thing is important for the church: to trust in the Lord and to serve Him, the one and only Supreme God. Are you worn out from Christmas? Are you worried about the new year? Are you wary of people you are not sure you can trust? Are you feeling overworked and feeling a little despair? In the days after Christmas, Mary and Joseph had to take flight to Egypt. You put Christmas back in the box and you store it in the attic or wherever else. You have a new year ahead. Let Christ give you a fresh start. Ask God to guide you. Serve Him and trust Him. And I just want to say to you, again, Happy New Year. You have a great day.